You're listening to the Today's Conveyancer podcast, the leading source of information for residential property lawyers in England and Wales. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to our free newsletter at todaysconveyancer.co.uk. You can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hello and welcome along to the latest Today's Conveyancer podcast. Today I have property royalty on the podcast, and I'm delighted to welcome Kate Faulkner, OBE. Kate, thanks so much for joining.
Oh, it's fine. That still hasn't quite sunk in, I don't think.
I bet. Named in the honours list this year, Kate is a property market commentator, a consumer champion, an industry champion, and a mover and shaker in the home buying and selling group. Today, Kate, we're going to be talking a little bit about the market as you see it, because we're not really quite sure what's happening at the moment. So hopefully you can shine a bit of light on the property market and also talk a little bit about your role at the HBSG and what's happening there as well. So we've only got 25 minutes. We'll make a start. My first question is quite straightforward. I mean, I've done an introduction, but tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do.
So effectively, I run my own business, and for want of a better phrase, it's a niche communications agency. So I see my job as helping consumers with their property project, whether it's fitting a new door, building a home, buying a house, letting, whatever it might be. And to do that, I kind of really have to understand the property market. I have to listen, liaise with consumers on a daily basis. So we kind of do constant research. And then I'm lucky enough to be paid by lovely people in the industry to help them communicate their services and develop and launch new products. So we do comprehensive property market reports. You might have seen the one in The Negotiator, if I'm allowed to mention that. I originally launched one of the first property portals in the hefty days when there were 165 of them. I then moved into the relocation business and changed the way that that worked. I then moved into part exchange, changed that, and helped to create and build the National Self-Build and Renovation Centre. And I try and work right across the board. So we work with everybody from developers to agents through to our wonderful removals industry, unsung heroes, I think.
Speaking of unsung heroes, today's conveyancer champions the conveyancer, of course, and the conveyancing industry has definitely been through it over the last couple of years. There seems to be some uncertainty in the market at the moment. There's a lot of industry comment about the ups and downs of the property market. We're halfway through January. What's the lie of the land as far as you see it?
So I'd be very honest, is we don't know. We just don't know. And we've got to be honest about that, I think. The reason we don't know is actually good news. We're entering an economic recession with the most robust property market I have ever seen, certainly from an equity perspective. But we have some extraordinary tricky economic issues from inflation to mortgage rate rises and the cost of living. The approach out there seems to be the normal doom and gloom. So I always say everybody goes into panic mode when prices rises, and everybody goes into panic mode when prices might fall. And from my perspective, I think we'll probably do okay, and we won't really start having an idea of the impact until sort of March, April time. There are sort of two views, if you like. One is that because the equity side is so robust, we're looking at maybe 5 to 10% price falls. Of course, worse on the transaction front. So maybe looking at around 800, 850 transactions, which is not great from the industry perspective, but we kind of should be factoring in that comes after you've done 1.5, nearly 1.6 million 1 year, and then you kind of still carry on riding that wave the next year. So hopefully people are in good shape. But the good news is we do have a lot of better data. Now, I mean, the data that's coming out is just phenomenal. We still have a shortage of homes in most areas. Lettings is actually going to be worse this year than buying and selling. But that'll keep rents up. That'll keep some prices up. There's this vast difference everybody needs to know about between the flat and the house market. So I think the house market will carry on. In the past, we needed first-time buyers to keep the market moving. But because we've got so many people trading down as well as trading up, I'm not expecting the fall in the number of first-time buyers we'll see this year to impact so much on the rest of the market and sort of hold it to ransom a little bit. So we may see the 20% falls that we normally do in a recession, but I'm very much in the camp of 5 to 10% falls. And weirdly, we can cope with the 10% fall in prices because we had rises in prices that nobody ever expected last year. So I'm hoping it's not the doom and gloom that we thought. I know it will be rough transaction wise, but I think that gives us as an industry a good opportunity to really look at the way our business works, the way home buying and selling works, and hopefully implement some really good changes this year.
Well, perhaps we'll come on to that, but I want to drill into some of those stats that you've pulled out there, because let's say 850 is around about where this year's going to end up. That's very much in line with what we were doing 2012 to 2015, 16, isn't it? And it's that normality of that market. So to me, it needs to be taken in that context. It's been abnormal for the last 2 years.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great way of explaining it. And this is something we're going to be looking into, and hopefully we'll get some answers over the next few months. But on average, since 2000, we've done 1.2 million sales every single year. We know that they go down to sort of, I think it was about 600, 700 maybe for England in the last recession. And it was probably similar in the 90s. And we know they go as high as 1.5, 1.6. And what I don't think people appreciate outside our industry is I don't think there's any other industry that has that vast range. You know, my background's food retailing, very much FMCG businesses. But you look at the car, the health and beauty industries, the food industry, they always have an underlying profit. We have a boom and bust market. And that makes everybody's life very difficult, because when you want to make change and it's busy, it's difficult to make change because everybody's too busy. When you want to make change and it's quiet, it's difficult to make change when it's quiet, because of course we don't have the number of people because our business has just halved. And we've got to learn how we manage that ongoing. Developers in particular get kicked quite hard. But I think we all forget Barratt might be doing fine last year, but we nearly lost them in the last recession, you know, and how awful would that have been? So we have to have a more long-term look at our market, and we all have to find a way of managing those huge ups and downs that, as I say, very few other industries have to deal with.
And it takes a massive toll on recruitment. It takes a massive toll on retention and just planning as well, because we're at a point in time now where we know that there are redundancies in the conveyancing market. We know that people have already started to take those decisions. As you say, it seems very difficult to actually plan long term when there's so much fluctuation.
Yeah, but you can. Other industries have it. So, for example, if you sell Easter eggs, guess what? This happens every single year. And if Easter eggs is your bag, you ramp up from, it appears to be the 31st of December, and you ramp down at the end of April. So we've got to learn how to do that. And I think because people want more flexible lifestyles, particularly since the pandemic, that's a great way for us to be able to work with people in this industry, because we cannot, you know, replace people easily that have to have so much training for their day job. You know, I mean, the legals takes not just the time you train in legals, but all that experience in every conveyancing that you do. I mean, I learn something every time I move. I learn something every time I hear from people or help people out. And that's why I've stayed in the market. I just get bored very easily, but I'm not bored in property because every day is different. And I love that about it. And it keeps my attention, because you never stop learning. There's no experts really in our market, because you'll never be an expert, because it's so diverse and it changes so much. That's a wonderful thing. It's hard, but we should celebrate that.
You talked about the fact that a reduction in transactions might give us more time to think about our business, to think about the property transaction as a whole. mentioned the fact that you're obviously very heavily involved in the Home Buying and Selling Group. Home Buying and Selling Group has been going for a couple of years. It's introduced a number of initiatives, but at a recent roundtable, it suggested that it might have gone as far as it can without legislative intervention. Is that how you feel?
Yeah, because again, I don't know about you, but if our business is compared to buying a toaster one more time, I'm going to get physical. And obviously that wouldn't be good, particularly with an OBE. So the problem that we have is twofold. So one is an industry issue. If it's not mandated, we are asking people to change all of their IT systems, CRM systems, retrain everybody. That's a big ask. And that's why I say hopefully we'll have some time to do that. So we'll maybe get further this year than we've been able to so far. But if you've got a chain of three buyers, it's no good two out of three of them doing all the upfront information. It's no good two out of three of them making all the changes that we need. They've all got to do it. We also have government department data that needs to be improved. And as a result of that, with the work on the what we call the property trust framework, where we have to get our data talking to each other, we have to get it to a level where it's accepted by everybody. That goes into very complicated IT stuff, which I am not good at. But what I know is that the future of our business relies on us having data that we can all trust from the day a property is marketed. And that is a huge job to do. It's a huge investment from both government and from industry, and therefore we need mandation. But again, the good news is we're pushing on an open door. It's in the levelling up document. And although we are frustrated at the turnover of housing ministers, not just last year, but over the last 30 years, I have to say the one thing that I've learned is that we have amazing civil servants. And they're doing a grand job, and they're listening, and they're working hard to help us to change the home buying and selling process. And I'm confident we'll get there. It won't happen fast, but there are some things we could do that will make changes tomorrow. And that's what we've got to focus on this year while we're looking at making these more longer term changes, which will change if we can. So we've got with the BASB, the buying and selling property information form, we know now there are 200 questions that might need to be asked, not for every property, but across the board, that we have to have information for, ideally up front. What if we could press a button and all the data appears that can be trusted to answer that? That's a utopia. That'll take a long time. But what if we could get half of it? What if we could get three quarters of it? Interestingly, less than 50% of those are on the legal forms that are required. So this is not a compete thing. Then that would be amazing, but it'll take us time to get there. However, what if we could get every seller this year to instruct their legal company day one of marketing? What if we could get them to produce a property prac before it goes up online? What if we could then get them to keep a property logbook? Then that data delivery becomes a lot more realistic. But we can do that tomorrow. But that requires on all of us, again, this is we've got to all be in. That requires on the media, the government, lenders through to removal companies, telling everybody this is the new way of moving home. But we can do that. That will get us a long way with getting upfront information early in the process, if not as early as we would like.
I think you've touched on a really important point, which is that a lot of this is going to require us to change our IT systems. And that is a real blocker. IT systems don't readily and easily change, do they?
No, they don't. But we'll find a way of doing that. And there are lots of companies out there that are helping to do that, who are putting in enormous time and effort to do this. But let's just stop and go, let's just make sure all the legal companies are instructed day one of marketing. That could shave 6 weeks, whatever it might be. It doesn't matter if it's a week, 6 weeks, 8 weeks, but it's what I've always done. And even during the pandemic, I had to put my mum's house up for sale. We did it in the middle of August, and we were done and dusted by the 17th of November. but my legals were all ready, and fabulous agent who made sure that people knew up front you can't keep chickens. But mum was in the good life suburbia. The loft room was a loft room because we didn't have the height on the stairs for fire safety. And we had this weird clause, which I could not get rid of, that land at the bottom of my mum's garden, which backed onto an old railway line that was now somewhere everybody took their dogs for a walk. A short piece of it belongs to the council and costs £35 a month. Nobody walked through that door and viewed that property without knowing those three things. Good agent, good legal company, boom, and getting them done early. So all my legals were ready in week one.
Where does the onus fall for this? We've got James Monroe and the Part A, B, C coming. Part A is already in place. There's not yet timescales for B and C, but we've got an idea of what they're going to include. That feels as though it falls on the agent.
It falls on everybody. It falls on the homeowner. It falls on the buyer to ask for it. It falls on the agent. It falls on the legal company. But you know what? The one thing we've been really bad at before is understanding who does what. I think the work that Trading Standards have done is fantastic, and congratulations to everybody in that group. We're really rubbish at saying well done in our industry, and I'm so proud of what we do. What that started is that's really started the ball rolling on upfront information. So we should, as I say, you could do it with property packs. If we get the logbooks done properly, a lot of this information, it'll come. So let's not panic. Let's not try and, you know, run a marathon just now. These are big changes we want to do. So as much as it's down to the agent, the legal company, whoever at the surveyor, it's also down to the media to help us communicate that we need to get people instructed earlier. And the earlier we can do that, the better, because whether the agent gets the information or not, if I'm correct in this, so shout at me if I'm not, the legal company is going to have to check it anyway. But the trading standards work. Let's see that as a massive, that is just like, look at that closed door we had to upfront information 5 years ago. Boom, we've battered it down. We've got all the portals working on that. We've got trading standards behind it. Everybody's coming on board now. And everybody gets that upfront information is the way forward. So we will get there, but let's deal with what we have now, which is that upfront information. Let's get our legal companies instructed early, and let's start there this year. And we will see a vast difference. And once people start seeing the difference, all the companies that are coming through now, there's lots of new businesses coming in, which is fantastic. They're all working on this now. So it'll happen.
I sense from not only your passion, but also the fact that you sort of suggest that there's a domino effect that could happen here. That what we're really talking about is regulation of some description. That actually, as you say, this is more mandated. That there's better education around the whole process. There's regulation of property agents being talked about. You know, that's kind of what this needs.
No, that totally underestimates. I am shouting at the rooftops for crying out loud, regulate agents. Will you stop allowing people to set up agents in their bedroom and their garage? It's got to stop. So everybody now, I think there's probably a book being run on how long it takes Kate to mention the need for Roper. Which everybody wants, you know, it's all majority of people want. Some agents aren't 100% on board, but we have to have that because they are the starting process. And we have everybody around the agent is regulated in some way, shape or form. So we need that. We need that box to be ticked. So, but the good thing is we know what we need to have a fantastic buying and selling process. And we're on it. And we've got our to-do list. And we're working well with government, and we're working well with the industry, the trade bodies, the regulators, the redress schemes. We're all pulling in the same direction. That's huge. That is huge. And don't underestimate that. You know, you say like the domino effect, but we'll get there because the people that I work with are phenomenal. And again, we are really bad at praising our industry and the people in it. Nobody else probably on this call has ever worked in the pet market. You've probably never flogged chicken tonight to death like I used to, or bachelor's peas. Trust me, I've worked in so many different markets and we have phenomenal people, and it's those phenomenal people that are going to deliver a phenomenal home buying and selling process.
You might not describe yourself as an expert. I'm sure other people will. You've suggested you're a champion, an industry champion, a consumer champion. What are you most proud of in the years that you've had in the industry?
I'm going to be really probably quite annoying for that, but I am so proud of the people I work with. So I'm going to bang on about that again. Not just because they're smart, not just because I think, you know, nobody realizes how much people care and how much care and kindness goes into putting a roof over people's heads. I couldn't be a nurse because I'm really rubbish. I can't even watch something like A&E, or like just can't, hate it. I'd be really rubbish in the police force because I'd probably end up thumping somebody that thumps somebody else. I was quite good at looking after dogs once they got to the RSPCA as a volunteer. But you know what? I'm really, really good at putting a roof over people's heads. Think of what the difference is. Think of when people move, get married, get divorced, somebody's in debt, they've died. Terrible personal circumstances. And what we do is we put a new roof over somebody's heads that's going to make a massive difference to when they wake up in the morning, to enjoying their day and going to bed at night. I'm hugely proud of that, but I'm really proud of the people that I work with who go to ridiculous lengths to try and help people. One of my favourite stories from my judging days was an agent got called up by the buyer because their dog had died. You kind of go, right, where's this going? And they didn't want to bury it in their own garden. They wanted to bury it in the new garden. And could the agent have a chat with the seller? And they had a little burial. This is life. People go to great lengths to put roofs over people's heads, and removals guys who are still there at 8 o'clock at night because people haven't moved out early enough. So what I'm really proud of is the job that our industry does. And we need to be more proud of each other, and we need to stop having a go at each other, and we need to absolutely start talking about the amazing things that we do that help people move, not just talk about the things that we get wrong. Trust me, every industry gets things wrong. I think we do a fantastic job. I think the job that's been done over the last few years during the pandemic, for example, when we had to open up with COVID, oh my word, that was scary. That was super scary. But we did it. And every other industry complained about it, and ours didn't, because we'd done it ourselves and we'd created the guidelines and people stuck to it, and we did a good job and we moved humongous numbers of people that needed to move. That is what we should be proud of every single day. I'm proud to house people, and everybody here should be really proud of themselves for all those people that they've put a new roof over their head. Really important.
I hesitate to ask now after such positivity, but what do you see as the missed opportunities?
Never a missed opportunity. Can't have one. A missed opportunity is just looking over life, and I'm old enough to say this now, all a missed opportunity is the timing wasn't right. So you just park it and you find the right time. But we're in the right time. We've got the right people. And we are making changes to the home buying and selling process that we couldn't do before. So you could say all the time before was missed opportunity, but I'm not interested in that. That's not going to help us move forward. The point is that you never miss an opportunity. You learn why it didn't happen and you put it right. And you need the right time and the right people. We have the right time. We have the right people. And if we don't get something done this year, we'll get it done the next year or the year after. But that motivation to get it done is there in enough people who are super smashing, in my view, that will get us through.
The Home Buying and Selling Group is a voluntary organisation, and I know that you've really put your heart and soul into that. What's next for the Home Buying and Selling Group? What's next for Kate Faulkner?
So what's next then in buy selling group is we want to make some real changes this year. We want to get legal companies instructed up front, if you like, for want of a better phrase. And we need to work very much closely with the media to do that. So you'll hopefully hear more about this. Please, please, please get involved. Start this with your local papers. Start this with your local radio stations. Let all your clients know this is the new way of moving home. That's what we need to do. We need to make sure still that all buyers have got finance ready and checked before offers are made. We want the buyers to get their legal company to get their searches ordered in the first week. Don't wait till you've got your mortgage offer. And a really big one, let's get everybody moved by 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, I know, because I've researched this in the last 12 months with everybody, there are so many reasons why that can't happen. I don't care how many reasons that can't happen. Let's get it done. I am working through every single reason why that can't happen. And we're going to get rid of all the reasons why it doesn't happen. And we're going to get everybody moved. But tell everybody, agree with your chain, that everybody's moved out. And if they have not got a removal company that they're paying to move them by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, make sure they're packed up, ready to go the night before with the relevant insurance if they're moving themselves. We need to give better advice. So those are the things that we need to do. In the background, we're working on the mandation of upfront information, needing ROPA and the property trust framework and much, much more. For me, so I semi-retired last year.
You wouldn't believe it.
I tend to crack through quite a lot in a day. So in theory, that if you ask me this time last year, what's next for you? Well, it's kind of full retirement. But I'm going to be honest. I feel that getting the OB was quite a turning point, you know, and I've got that thanks to the industry. And the feedback I've had have been so positive. I found it personally extraordinarily overwhelming. I mean, I'm not somebody that sits and cries much, but oh my word, I've been in floods, happy tears, I have to say. But I'm probably going to have to extend my semi-retirement and work a little longer than planned. However, I'm going to go to celebrate the OB with the industry this year. I'm doing something I've always wanted to do before, which is I'm going on a curry course. I love cooking. And I found a lovely lady who's going to teach me how to cook curries better. And I've got a camper van, which I'm going to enjoy. And on my birthday, which is coming up, I'm going to the ABBA concert. So it's probably way too much detail than you're expecting, but good work-life balance to coin a very overused phrase. But we're going to change the home buying and selling process. And I need everybody's help. So please help me.
Well, if that's not a call to action, then I don't know what is. Kate, it's been an absolute delight to have you on the podcast. Thank you so much for joining.
Likewise. Lovely, lovely to talk to you.
The Today's Conveyancer podcast is available on your preferred podcast provider. It's also available on todaysconveyancer.co.uk. I would just echo your call to action, Kate. We're going to get very, very involved in this. We're going to be talking about the Property Trust Framework shortly on the podcast as well. So keep your ears out. But my thanks to Kate. Thank you very much indeed for listening. And we'll see you again soon.
You're listening to the Today's Conveyancer podcast, the leading source of information for residential property lawyers in England and Wales. Don't forget to subscribe and sign up to our free newsletter at todaysconveyancer.co.uk. You can also follow us on LinkedIn and Twitter.